The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello again. This is Paul Orlowski. The name of the program, as you just heard, God Calling. What is God calling you to do? We've talked some about the priesthood, ordained life, married life, various callings from God. What is God calling you to do? Well, there's an elderly priest, and about 10 years ago, he's 95 now, but about 10 years ago, he gave a retreat out at St. Joseph's in Avon Lake. His name's Father Jim Beckerer. He was the marriage counselor for the Diocese of Cleveland for decades, and he's got a real interesting take on marriage because he was the counselor. People would come to him with all types of problems. One of his real important things he says about having a successful marriage, a happy marriage, is, are you any fun to be around? And so I thought we'd excerpt some of that talk because it was delightful. It was very popular, and he's a delightful guy. So let's go to Father Jim Beckerer.
So here is a little bull-headed midget, 85-year-old cleric, celibate, talking to you about marriage. So what do you think of that? I mean, is life perverse or... You know, it's paradoxical anyway. So, since you wanted to have so much fun, I thought I'd give you two. They're good jokes, but they're old jokes. But you like that, and so I'm going to start with two jokes, and then I'm going to get serious. Are you ready for this? Have you heard this one? I'm sure you have. It's been around for about a year. It was about a guy that went into the bank in Dublin, Ireland, and he had a mask on, and he held up the teller and got the money. And on the way out, he was escaping, and someone ripped his mask off his face. And so he shot her dead. And then he looked at the teller that saw his face and shot her dead. And then he said, did anybody else around here see my face? You know this, don't you? And one little voice said, I think me wife had a glimpse. I don't pretend to think that any life is easy, mine nor yours, but I think mine is easier. I really do. But, you know, fulfilling in its own way, because God just put us here and said, now this is what I have in mind for you. Now you do this, see? Do this. So the most important day of your life is when you're born, and the second is when you know, when he said, you do this. And I think for you, married people, he said, now you do this. This is your calling. So it isn't just a sentimental moment, you know, when we spend thousands of dollars to look beautiful and hand out champagne and cut the cake and smash it. That's not, no, life is much deeper than that. So anyway, we joke about marriage in order to lubricate it. And that's why in my office, I was 21 years as a marriage counselor for the diocese, and I had a book of jokes out there, you know, cartoons in these books that I collected, and very few were looking at them, I'll tell you that, you know. You check out the jokes, no, you know, they're in deep trouble. And I know, you know, when we describe life dramatically on stages, we use two faces, don't we? We use the smile and the frown, because life is joy and sorrow. And have you learned that yet? Have you accepted it yet in your marriage? Because it is that. For everybody, anybody, it's just life. So get used to that, the joy, the sorrow, you know, it's okay. And just don't be a wimpy person sitting back, you know, expecting everything to be the way it should be, the way you want it to be. It is not that way. So in my life, I've always thought maybe we could lubricate the pain of life. And I say that again, lubricate the pain of life with laughter. And one of the first things I would ask of you, and you don't have to raise your hands or anything, but I always, there's a whole talk on this. Tonight I'm just doing, you know, I thought, what can I do in an hour? Because I have hours and hours of talks on marriage, hours. And I say, are you any fun to be with? Are you any fun to live with? Because if you're not fun, you know, I want out. And there's, you know, the other night someone, you know, I was on the phone, came to pick me up for something. And, you know, we were in slacks and all this stuff. And I said, are we wearing tails tonight or tux? He said, no, those jeans are okay. You're not laughing. I am. That's where you are. No, the jeans are okay. I mean, never got the humor. If you don't get the humor of life, you are done in. Laughter, joy is the best thing, and I know that I will repeat myself 100 times tonight, but once I was giving talks in Hollywood, Florida, in this church, and they had etched in the side of the church, which I have told you before, joy, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. And I see all these people walking around with their Bibles and, you know, and all this, you know, and doing all that. And, you know, are you any fun to be with? You know, they're doing chapter and verse. I do pages. So anyway, do you want to hear the other joke? Oh my God, I'm spending 20 minutes on an introduction. It was supposed to be 2 minutes. You probably know this, but be kind. If, you know, it was this couple that went to the doctor's office because the husband was sick. And after the doctor saw him, he called her in and he said, your husband is sicker than you think. And he said, you know, you can do a lot for him, though. Actually, it's a matter of life and death. What I want you to do is get up in the morning, you know, before he does, and have a lovely breakfast for him. And since he comes home for lunch, be there, have a lovely lunch, you know. And then when he comes home in the evening, you know, have all the dogs and the kids, you know, silent, and greet him, you know, in cellophane or something, you know, just greet him, yeah, with love, and give him a martini or two or something, you know, and make it a happy hour, and then give him a wonderful, wonderful dinner, and then give him all the sex he wants. And she said, okay. So anyway, on the way home, the two of them were driving home, and the husband said, what did he tell you? She says, you're going to die. You got it. So what I want you to do to make this really not just word service. I want you, please, for a moment, to make it as personal as I can. Remember your wedding day, please. Close your eyes. Hold her hand. You remember when you got married? Remember how wonderful that was? And you said something like this. I take you for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, in health, in good times, and in bad times, until I die, or you die. So, just remember that for a moment tonight, because, you know, we're so busy and so distracted. I really want you to remember that day. And I remember when I was ordained. And I said, I'll live that life. I will live that life. I will live that life. So you go back to that. And hopefully you come here tonight to, not that your spouse will change, but maybe you'll hear one kernel, you know, one moment, one thought that you say, yeah, that's me, and I'm going to continue to do that because I do it well. Or, you know, I really need to change that. That would be wonderful, because life is constant change. There's nothing so constant in life as change. And so many people are always talking about the way it was. How is it? Not the way it was. How is it? How's your life? How's your marriage? How's my priesthood? I'm not the guy I was 55 years ago. I'm me now, with all the changes and the challenges of being a priest in these years and these times. Now you have to grow. That's the meaning of marriage. You're not in there just to raise children, you're to raise each other. So if you have that in mind, you say, you know, I'm not the man I was, I'm not the woman I was, I'm not the bride I was, I'm not the husband I was. I am constantly becoming somebody else. And that is wunderbar. I want to keep on growing until I die. So, okay. You remember when, I think God has a sense of humor. He made you fall in love to get married. I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are gonna chime. You know, he puts that in you. How else would you make those promises? you know, it's an emotional, passionate thing. And, you know, as much as we tell you it's not gonna stay that way, you don't believe that. You say, no, I'll always be, you know, wild about Harry. I'll always be wild about Mary. You know, I'll just be wild. Well, it doesn't last, if you're honest. You go from illusion, you know, what you thought marriage was going to be, to what it really is. And I've had people, honestly, I had as a marriage counselor 21 years, I had this woman come in on a Tuesday, and I said, she said, I want a divorce. And I said, how long have you been married? Since Saturday. Called you on Monday, but you weren't here. you know, people are... They love weddings. They just don't like marriage. They do. And that's why, you know, I don't mean to judge any of you, but I wish you wouldn't spend so much on the wedding. I really wish you would not. It's foolish money. It's the marriage between you and God and Christ and someone you're going to spend your life with. And it's not dazzle. It's not that. When you talk about $40,000 and $50,000 for a wedding, and you have designation weddings, I mean, a couple of years ago, I went, I don't know, I don't even remember the island, somewhere off of Italy. And they got divorced in 2 years. So, you know, I had to pay my own way. That bothered me. But So are you beyond, that's my question, are you beyond illusion? Are you beyond illusion? The priesthood is not at all what I thought it was going to be. It's even better, but it's not perception. It's what it is. So you have these childish ideas about marriage and, you know, in a magazine, and the bride looking this way and all that. You know that that's very, very, very superficial. It doesn't mean diddly. So it's in here. So have you gone beyond illusion to disillusionment? Someone has said it doesn't matter who you marry because the person you wake up on Monday morning is somebody else. Because we are different. But when you get married, you know, and I'm your husband and your wife, you know, we're in here forever. A lot of people aren't up to that. I wasn't. I shouldn't have put that in there, but I mean, I don't know that I could do it. And that's why I feel a little hollow, you know, talking to you about marriage, which I myself don't experience, but my experience is via others. So have you gone to beyond illusion and disillusion to death, which is the wedding feast of Cana? Good wine, no wine, best wine. Have you done that? Just, you know, want you to think about that. It's not what you thought it was going to be at all. But you have to get through that. And a lot of people who don't just keep going back to the illusion part. That's why they have 6, 7, 8 marriages, you know. Elizabeth Taylor, whatever. You know, they just keep going back. They want illusion. They don't want the real thing. Do you want the real thing? I hope you say, I do.
Father Jim Becker will be back with more of his talk on marriage coming up right here on AM 1260 The Rock. We've got more with Father Jim Becker, longtime marriage counselor for the Diocese of Cleveland. Here he is.
Now, you've had children, and the thing about that is it's wonderful. It's a product of love. It gives you, well, real meaning of life. You begin to forget yourself and think of them. But the problem with it is that you are thinking of them and not each other anymore. You must survive your kids. You're going to spend more years together as husband and wife than daddy and mother. And the people who hold on to their kids like they do, you know, don't leave me and so on, are selfish. They don't allow their kids to grow up. And the kids think, why don't you love each other and have a life of your own without us? And so that's a big point I'm trying to make here, because you can't hold on to your kids. You got to love them enough to let them go. And that's the cost of parenthood, and it's the price of marriage, that the marriage must survive the kids. And in earlier days, I think one day I talked about Cana here in church and talked about, you know, the brevity of life. But now we live in, you know, a very long time. You are going to live many, 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 many more years without your children than with them. And if you don't have a love between you that sustains you and propels you on, and all you want to do is hold on to your kids, you are selfish. And you are not a good parent. I know kids that, you know, keep going back to their parents because they trained them to be like that. What is the thing you say on the day of the marriage, or sometimes is read at least? You leave your father and your mother and you cling to your spouse. And I'm urging you to stop being vertical and be horizontal. Vertical. It's natural. It's not an earned thing to love your boys and girls. Who wouldn't? But you have to love them enough to let them go. And if that takes over and you don't advance into the love of husband and wife on a horizontal level, then you have not grown up. And I can't say that often enough, because that's a huge problem in marriage. You just don't want to give up give up on the kids. No, the purpose of parenting is to put yourself out of business. Raise them so that they can raise them other kids, and then you can go on with your husband and your wife and say, we don't need them anymore, we changed the locks. Imagine living 50 years with the same person. I mean, if there's anything that does it in, it's boredom. Oh, my God, another year like this. You gotta have imagination. You gotta have passion. You gotta have adventure. And, you know, if everybody says, well, we can't afford it. You know, if you're just a money person, you know, get lost. We can never afford life. Let's do it. Put it on the tab. What the hell? Just... We need someone to put their heart into our heart and say, you can do it. You can, hey, don't give in to fear. So anyway, you need encouragement. We need faith. But we need divine faith. Of course, that's what we're here for. We, you know, it's only faith that makes us believe in the wonder of marriage and Christ and everything. But you need a person who says, you know what? I believe in you. I mean, just, I be, four words. Isn't that something? You hear that? And where better to come from than your husband or your wife? Says, I believe in you, honey. I believe in you. I mean, that means a lot. Just for, do you know the power of words? I believe in you. And here you are, 50, 60 years of marriage and so on. And he has someone who said, she always believed in me. He always believed in me. And the guys have to kind of get over to this other side of life where women aren't always, you know, they have been categorized. And now she says, well, I'm 50 years old, the kids are gone, and I want to become a nurse. And he said, oh, come on. Jeez, a nurse. Stay home and cook my meals. She said, no, really. I've only got half my life done. I've always wanted to be a nurse. Could I be a... I just, that's how I feel. And he says, honey, I'm all for you. You can do that. I know you can. She goes back to school and becomes a nurse or whatever. You know, you got the point. That's what we must do. Because we live such long lives. We have successive marriages. We have successive careers. We have successive vocations. And if you've got somebody standing behind you saying, you can do this, you'll be great. You'll just be wonderful. And hey, if it doesn't work out, we'll try something else. You need that kind of encouragement. And I thank you if you do that for your spouse.
We'll be back with more of Father Jim Becker on marriage, right here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Jim Becker, he is a longtime marriage counselor with the Diocese of Cleveland. He has some interesting thoughts on a successful marriage. Here's what he had to say.
Do you pray together? I just urge you to do that. And I know it's self-conscious, it's awkward and so on. You'd rather just say a prayer. But that's not the same as you holding hands, looking at God and saying, God, you brought us together and we're married and we're sacramental. And you are Christ to me and I am Christ to you. And I want to pray. And I praise you, Lord. I need to praise. I thank you, Lord. I need to thank you for life. I need to thank you for me. I need to thank you for my spouse. And thank you for my kids. For my family. For my job. For my faith. For Holy Communion. I thank you, Lord. And we do it together, see? And then I need to ask you, Lord, and you, my spouse, forgive me, for I haven't always been what I should be. I know. I disappointed you and disappointed myself. I'm sorry. Do you forgive me? I do. And Lord, I need help to live and to be a husband, to be a wife. I need your help. I don't want to try this alone. It started with you in the altar, and it continues with you. So I must pray and beg you, ask you, please, to give me the grace to be the best husband I can be, the best wife I can be, the best daddy I can be, the best mother I can be. Lord, I pray that you hear me, and I know you do, and send forth your spirit and help me not to live this life alone. I can't live it alone. I can't do this alone. Only with you can I do this. So you have spiritual intercourse. You have intellectual intercourse. You're not allowed to bore to death the person you say you love. I repeat, you are not allowed to bore to death the person you say you love. How many of you are now wearing a diamond? Most of you, right? Okay. Maya Angelou, the poet laureate for the United States one time, she was looking at her diamond, and she saw how brilliant it was. And she said, how did it get that way? And then she said, a little less pressure and a little less time. And you know what that diamond would be? It would just be crystal. And then she said, a little less time and a little less pressure. Do you know what that crystal would be? Just coal. And a little less time and a little less pressure. You know what that coal would be? Just leaves. And a little less time and a little less pressure. You know what those leaves would be? Just dirt. And a little less time and a little less pressure. You know what that dirt would be? Just plain dirt. That was Maya Angelou. So as you look at your diamond there on your hand and so on, realize that it doesn't come overnight. And I hope that you find life in your marriage worthwhile and worth sustaining forever.
I found that clip that we just excerpted on the internet. If you put in Father Beckerer, which is Beckerer, on marriage, it'll pop right up. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long, and it's a delightful. We've only scratched the surface of it. But if you're married and would like a little encouragement, that's the place to go. The name of the show is God Calling. My name is Paul Orlowski. We're here every week, and we hope you'll join us every week. Right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.